Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here's Debo in motion. Jet sweep handoff to Debo. A block and a dive for the goal line. And he's up on the goal line and in. Touchdown! San Francisco. And this one counts. They're not taking it back. Ayuk behind Bell left. They run Mason off the left side. A cutback run. Touchdown! San Francisco! Lazard is wide right. Play action by Rodgers. Here comes Leonard Floyd. Rodgers steps up, throws. Battled away by Lenore. Intercepted by Flanagan. Fouls.
Maybe they should just keep Flanagan fouls out there.
I think you just said that. So the last snap, and they'll tick off the final seconds here. 5-4-3 and take it to the gun. And the Niners have the win, Tim. 32-19.
Yeah, you know, we were just bad on first and second down, I think, for a lot of the game. And then, you know, we had a couple drives. We converted third downs. But overall, you know, we I feel like we didn't have any third and 10 pluses tonight. So that's always a good thing when we look in the stat sheet. But we didn't convert those third and mediums. You know, we had a drop. We had a couple penalties. We had a bad throw. So a lot to correct. But overall, I feel, you know, I feel good about our guys. I thought the protection was really good tonight. We just were a little bit off in the run game, couldn't get Breece going, couldn't give him enough space, but a lot to build on.
Well, that's a nice way to kind of finish up week one, watch the Jets lose to the 49ers. Actually, the surprise of that game, 32-19. Woody, the surprise last night and this morning watching the second half is watching the Jets defense get pounded, physically pounded. I got to tell you, I just happened to watch, because I've always been a big fan of Quinnen Williams, their defensive tackle, who's been a guy that's been really good. I mean, he's really good against everybody, but he's had some really good games against the Dolphins. He got knocked around last night, man. He got some double teams, but a lot of them, he just got blocked. I mean, I don't think he can be real excited to come back and look at the way he played, but it was a lot of guys. Jordan Mason. So we find out before the game, McCaffrey's not going to play. So ESPN's all over it, and all the former players like, oh my God, you can't just, the McCaffreys don't grow on trees, and oh, this can be a huge loss for their game plan. So they're basically their third string running back because their second guy got hurt. Jordan Mason goes 28 carries, 147 yards, 5.3 average and a touchdown as the actual third running back on that team, like I said. And so McCaffrey, they find, I guess, on Friday wasn't going to play or started looking like he wasn't going to play, and they're not going to rush anybody back with the long season and the game added to it. But, man, I was very surprised at the Jets' defense. I think their offense is going to be fine. I'm not going to sit here and say that Aaron Rodgers and those guys. Aaron Rodgers actually had a lot of time to throw the football last night. But another guy throws for under 200 yards. What are we at for the quarterback club of? I swear, we throw for more yards watching Dayton Broward High School football every week than these guys.
It's really weird reading a line and a guy goes 167 yards in an NFL game. But the Jets, man, I thought they'd be better on both sides of the ball, to be honest with you, Joe. They were incredibly disappointing. I thought offensively they couldn't get anything going.
So can I go back?
The football. Yeah. What a Breece Hall had like 20-something yards until like late in the game.
Yeah, I saw his run at the very end of the game this morning. They kept him in with like 3 minutes left
to
get half his yards.
They couldn't run the ball. Yeah. You know, Rodgers was obviously wasn't great. And then you're right, but defensively, they got carved up, man.
He made some Aaron Rodgers throws. He did. And you know, he did a few nice throws down the middle. I don't know how open his guys were in that thing. But I think this all goes back, if we can just get past our dislike for the Jets for a second here. This just goes back to nobody plays, man, in preseason. And I just keep saying, I what the Dolphins did, like, even with the amount of yards they had, I think they're the number one offense after 1 week, or passing team for sure after 1 week here in the league. And, boy, some of the teams didn't throw for half of what Tua threw for in that game. I think a lot of this just goes back to there weren't a lot of guys that played a lot in preseason. There wasn't a lot probably when they did practice together in these practices with other teams before the preseason games. I think a lot of guys got rest days. I think a lot of guys were banged up in camp. And now you just go, all right, guys, now we're going from what we do. Because no matter, the coach says we're going hard in practice today, you're never going to go physically, mentally as hard as you're going to go in a game. It's adrenaline. You got a full house. You know, it's the roster's cut down. You know, this is the team. It counts. Everything changes. Your numbers. It's and now you're trying to win enough games, the playoffs, and all the goals are set. And just to go, as I always like to say, from 0 to 60, or 0 to 90, it's a tough one, man. It's tough, and it looked that way with the rookie quarterback class. I'm not surprised, because they're seeing generic defenses, and they're ready to, you know, drop back, and it's the basic defenses you run. There's no game plans put in, and now they see all the starters. They're not playing against twos and threes. They're playing against starters with a game plan, and everything changes in the National Football League. So I expect it's going to be better in week two, but I could be wrong.
They're not changing that anytime soon either with the preseason stuff.
No.
It's a lot of teams, those teams aren't
going to
play.
Woody, we're going to be going to 18 games here pretty soon, and that little preseason thing's going to get even shorter. And with everything. So, listen, let's get to the other thing. Oh, my God, I came in here today, and we've already got everybody at every radio station because of what took place Sunday. I've called it the strangest NFL season opener I can ever remember. Probably never see anything like it again. I'll someday be sitting back telling my kids about Tyreek Hill 3 hours before the game, the video coming in, and all the pictures from all the fans that saw him face down on the asphalt to catching an 80-yard touchdown in the late third, early fourth quarter, I'm not even sure right now, to really flip the game around, or help flip the game around and help the Dolphins come back and get that win in the fourth quarter.
Is that remarkable when you think about it, by the way,
no,
after seeing that video?
Yes, no.
What he went through?
Yesterday,
he's getting grabbed, choked, thrown to the ground. And so, he goes out there and has that sort of game.
So, you know, Woody, it's funny because I was trying to put myself in that situation, driving to a game. And listen, whatever, going fast, didn't want to be late, whatever it is, just from the standpoint of, and so I was wondering, because I watched him when he came out, and he didn't look himself to start the game. He didn't. I mean, he ran like a couple routes, and the guy had him covered down, and then he ran a corner route, and he was wide open. But it was just – something just seemed off from what he had gone through. And I had no idea till yesterday, or when everything started coming out. I didn't realize how many Dolphin players were also watching this up close, or as close as they could get out of their cars, going, this is ridiculous. But it really is remarkable what – he did to go. Can you imagine?
To answer your question, no, I could not imagine.
No.
And if something like that happened, and he had a great game, most people would be pretty.
And he has his longest touchdown in the history of his career.
That was weird. Yeah,
I mean, he just
figured out he's had a lot of long ones.
He's had a lot of long ones. He's had a lot of 50s and 60s. I'm guessing some 70s in there, but that's his first 80-yarder. And then on top of that, everybody's take of all the body camera footage comes out. And I said this yesterday. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. Bad look for the police department. It's a really bad look before. And it's just where it happened, too. I mean, it's right next to the stadium. You got your fan base driving and walking by and driving by. And They got the players are standing out around it. The Calais Campbell, they put handcuffs. Like, what we just, you know. And so, you know, we already had some. It got a little heated out here today, this morning. Cause,
well, you know the debate. I told you the debate on Twitter yesterday. And you know, people are saying, well, he should have put his window down. And, yeah, he should have, but doesn't warrant.
Does it warrant
thrown down? And then the worst part of that video is the guy takes him around the neck and Tyreek's screaming at his knee. I mean, you know, grab the guy around the neck like that, and God forbid they would have hurt him.
So
could you imagine that?
No, but ended up face down on asphalt with a citation for careless driving. I don't know how long he was out there, and Drew from security and Drew his agent. There are a couple of Drews involved, and everybody's getting them confused. One is head of security, and the other is his agent, Drew Rosenhaus.
I guess Rosenhaus was the one that he was yelling a call, right?
I'm not sure now.
Phone with.
Actually, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I thought my daughter asked me that last night, and I said...
Because Rosenhaus seemed like he got out there pretty quick.
Well, he goes to games. I don't know how... Well, he does go early, because he does like to see half the team he represents. But it's just...
That's a scary situation, though, man.
It's bad,
it's,
man.
It's very ugly.
It's bad, bad looking. And we're going to see what's going to happen here down at the police station. By the way, they put the body camera footage out, 105 minutes? They put it out quickly. Here it is, everybody. You decide. Here's the sound. Here's the video. And we'll go from there. And we had a lot of people here this morning that were like, if he would have just listened to the police. And I was like, look, you can say whatever you want. His ass should have never been put down face first on his stomach on the asphalt. That's my take.
Well, I think there's one thing that's clear from watching that video is that he wasn't a threat. Like, he wasn't a threat to those officers. He wasn't a threat to anyone else around there. I don't know how
so anyway,
he was driving or not, Joe, but
yeah,
they shouldn't have treated him like he was, was violent or
so
something.
I would just say this because, you know, they're going, well, they didn't know who it was and this and that. Doesn't, everybody
shouldn't really matter,
though. Well, let me finish here for a sec here. I know how you feel. I mean, you made it clear, and I don't want to get you in the middle of all this stuff, too, but so nobody's going to get, this is kind of like who you vote for. No matter what anybody says, to make a point one way or the other, we're not all going to agree on this. Because I got my strong opinions on it too. And people get, you know, if it's not theirs, they get upset and, you know, screw you. And hey, listen, man, we need the police. We need the police. There is no question. We need the police. I've had a handful of times I've needed police with some stuff that's happened. And they've been there. And they're guys, sometimes guys I know and have gotten to know. But that situation just didn't look right. Just did not look right. It's yesterday it blew up nationally. It was a lead story just about everywhere. Locally, obviously, it wasn't just a quick 2-minute story. It had 3 and 4 reporters on it yesterday and everybody trying to get response from the police and the union and the mayor. And the Miami Dolphins sent out their stuff, and the players had their thought on it and want something done. So, yeah, we had a little thing. And by the way, we got the Bills coming up here in a couple of days, which really looking forward to. Looking forward to that game, and maybe we can all get ready for this game and get pumped up for Bills win their first game. By the way, Bills like the Dolphins. Dolphins were down 14-0. The Bills were down 17-3, both at home. You can't make some of this stuff up. They were two of the three teams that had at least a 14-point deficit in their games before coming back to get wins. And now we could see the Josh Allen show again. Coming down here, Gregory Russo, who's from down here, got off to a great start with 3 sacks. And we'll talk to Eric Wood. He's going to join us later this morning. Former All-Pro center, now doing the radio games, radio analyst for the Buffalo Bills up there, and a good friend and one of the good guys in the business. He'll join us, talk about his team and coming down here. How many times are you going to hear that Josh Allen is 10-2, actually 11-2 against the Dolphins with the playoff game? How many times do you think we're going to hear that? He got us.
We'll hear it. Yeah. I just wonder how much of an after effect this all has, man. Like, the, you know, still talking about it. Like, the game's on Thursday, right?
So yeah, I,
the game's right around the corner, and that's a lot. That was a pretty intense thing to deal with, man.
Well, nobody wanted to hear about the comeback yesterday, and so I like what what Tyreek had to say. Like, you know, working with the police and, you know, and what some of the things. But he did interviews with, my God, it looked like they lined up to do interviews with him yesterday. He
was on the news stations, I saw, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was busy. I saw his wife there with him as well. But, yeah, we got this this football game coming up Thursday night, and it's a big one, man. It is a big game after Dolphins actually had the lead and in that last game and lose it on a return, and we get knocked out of from home field to going to Kansas City, and the Buffalo Bills got the home game. So, yeah, this one will be see how they bounce. And by the way, to Woody, to your part, I think they all rebound from this, and, I mean, it's a couple of days. I sent yesterday from listening to all the guys' sound bites from the interviews, which was all, nothing was about the game, was all about it. And a lot of the players were pissed. A lot of them were pissed. And I did not realize, as I said before, how many of the guys were standing around and watched this thing take place. But we're going to try really hard to get back to football. We are going to try really hard here.
That's
Jets.
It's going to be tough to do, though, man.
No, it's not, brother.
I mean, that's tough.
We're going to do it. We're going
to
do it right here.
Well,
we're
going to
do it here. Yeah, we're going
to do it. I still can't believe Tyreek played the way he played after going through that.
That's a hell of a story. That's a hell of a story. But
that would mess some people up.
That
him go out there and play that way?
By the way, you're exactly right. I had no idea. And to go out and play that way, especially in the second half, some of the plays that he made and stuff. Yeah, to get zoned in after that is pretty remarkable. It really is. All right. We got to go break. Woody, you got to bounce up back here a little bit, brother. You seem a little down this morning. We're going to be all right. We're going to get through this.
It's a sad story.
It is a sad story.
If you want, I tee off on Aaron Rodgers all morning. I mean, 167 yards.
No, he was.
We could do that. That's a fun topic.
You know,
only AFC's team to lose.
Yeah.
Week one.
God, even the Patriots got their first win. Pretty crazy.
What's going on with Greeny this morning? We're blacked out here on ESPN.
Yeah, how long?
We got DirecTV, so we
you know it's weird.
Out.
Yeah, no Jeff Darlington, man. He's can't watch to see where he is. I can do this though. Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and low T, man. Oh Lord, that one thing we agree on. We can agree on this, man. It's gonna hit everybody sooner or later. Low T kicks in your early 40s and 50s. Some guys get lucky, but nobody gets lucky. They're 70s. Nobody. Very, very few. Very few. And usually with low T, ED's right behind it. And when you have it, man, it's bad. I'm talking about your energy level. I'm talking about you start noticing you're moody. And I never knew that, man, when you get grumpy. And, you know, some of my buddies are starting to get a little grumpy. Something happens and they blow up and I go, whoa, you're the grumpy old man. Stop it. What is going on, brother? And they go, all right, I know, man, it's low T and ED. I know what it is. Oh, Joe, you do that on everybody. No, you're trying to get us to go to Atlantic Men's Clinic. No, but I want to let you know, man, sex drive's gone. Energy level's not there to go work out. It's all normal, brothers. It's all normal. The question is, what are you going to do about it? So mine kicked in hard about 7 months ago, 6.5, 7 months ago. And I'm stuck. You know, you don't know what to do. You know who to turn to. You're kind of embarrassed about the whole thing. You are. You just are. Doesn't matter who you are. You're embarrassed. And somebody goes, go to Atlantic Men's Clinic. Somebody here at QAM. And I go, I really don't want to go over there. I really don't. I'm so glad I did. It's the best thing I could have done. Because quickly, within a couple of weeks, man, I was feeling so much better. I had all the tests done, which you can do when you schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic. Hopefully today, get an appointment set up that works around your schedule. Get all the testing done with their professionals over there. And they have a great staff. They have 6 locations. Can tell you exactly what's going on. Then you decide what you want to do. And if it's important to you to have your energy back and be able to have long walks and enjoy your weekends more and work out and just feel a lot better, sleep better, all those things that happen with low T, And if nothing else, your sex drive back to chase that little lady around a little bit, still important to me. I'm guessing it's still important to you. 877-455-7300. That's 877-455-7300. Six locations throughout South Florida. Visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
All right, let's get you weather, brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law from YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. 83 degrees at the moment. It'll peak at 89. Does not look like there is, well, there is maybe rain at around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock or so, give or take. You know what, Joe? Either way, the Jets still the only team in the division with a loss.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, harp on that a little bit today.
I was kind of... So, their team didn't look bad offensively. I know they only scored 19 points. They only had a couple hundred yards of offense. But I can see where they could get, like, the offensive line actually looked better from where it was last year. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played a lot. Obviously, he was injured all of last year. But
in fairness to Aaron Rodgers, I give him a lot of credit. Come back from that injury, and he did look, in the opening few drives, he did look like kind of himself.
He made some good throws at times.
That's a bad injury to come back from, especially at that age, so you got to give the guy a little bit of credit. But
he made a couple throws in the second half watching it this morning. I went, okay, but...
Also, in fairness, San Francisco's probably one or two best team in the league, right?
They look good.
They haven't gone anywhere.
I'll tell you what, a lot of the teams that we thought were really good, Baltimore and Kansas City,
still good,
San Francisco, all those guys who were there, still good. Still real good. Yeah. No question about that.
Brock Purdy's still pretty good, by the way, right? I don't know where people place Brock Purdy in the whole... You know, standings of quarterbacks here, the rankings of quarterbacks.
Well, he obviously now.
He's pretty good, man.
He's won a lot of games in the first couple of years.
He has won a lot of games.
So he just seems like he got a little more to him. Yeah. And.
Boy, how about that for a lucky pick?
Covered up their mistake.
Yeah.
Covered up the big mistake for Trey Lance and all those draft picks. Although, did it really? I mean, they'd obviously. Could have had some really good players. They keep those picks and had any idea Purdy was going to be better in the seventh round than Trey Lance was going to be in the first round as one of the top picks.
Trey Lance, what is it? I don't even know if he's in the league anymore, but they've made it work
with
guys,
either.
Man. Remember Jimmy G was the guy that got him those first Super Bowls, and then this guy, I mean, they've made it work.
That
their
system,
defense is really good, though.
Their run blocking last night, take them off the offensive line, all the offensive lines that struggle.
Yeah.
Those guys, and by the way, did you see Detroit the night before? They just, at the end of the game, just manhandled the Rams. Just said, all right, enough of this throwing it. We're just going to take it right down your throat, and it's a ball game, and there's nothing you can do about it. To the right side. And
by the way, add them to the list of best teams in the league. Detroit's still pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I did. I leave them off.
Still pretty good, man.
So we're trying to figure. And by the way, you know, I know we talked about a lot of different things, but it's still pretty much the big plays for the Miami Dolphins. This team is made up of speed and big plays. I'm guessing there wasn't anybody else in the league that had offensive plays of 80 yards, 63 yards, and 38 yards like the Miami Dolphins did for three huge plays and a big part, damn near half their offense in three plays in that game. So a lot of good stuff going on there with the big plays. But still got to run it better. Still, you know, probably like to clean up some things in the running game. But going back, the big plays were made by individuals. I was trying to think back. I thought the play that Javon Holland made and Tyreek made the very next play, two of the biggest impact plays back-to-back I can ever remember. Being around here and what Javon did with that forced fumble at about the 2 yard line again, 2 or 3 yard line. I didn't realize just how close he was.
ETN's going in. If he doesn't get that ball out because he's going for the ball, right? He's not going for the tackle. He actually fell into the end zone. Joe, that could end up being, I don't want to like overblow things here, but that could end up being one of the biggest plays of the season.
Yes.
Right? There's a big difference between starting 1-0 and 0-1.
But it was just
think of the mindset of like just what that changes, man. That is going to end up being one of the big plays of the year.
When somebody says game-changing play, sometimes you go, yeah, but But this really was. We're talking into the third quarter. He makes this play. I mean, they're running right down our throat at this point. And I'm like, oh boy, we got this. That's gonna be 24/7 here in a second. And then Woody, I'm down at that angle, and everything opens up, and I'm watching Travis Etienne. He's going in. I mean, it opens up, and I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna score here. Javon Holland comes over, puts a hit and strip on it. The hit, strip, and force fumble into the end zone. It's just a great play.
So that makes it, what, 24-7?
Makes it 24-7. Right?
So 24-7, they obviously don't come back from that, I don't think.
Right? I don't either.
And I also think that play just completely changed the momentum of the game because, you know, I don't know that they come back out if he scores on the next drive and they hit, you know, an 80-yard bomb to Tyreek. I don't know if that happens, Joe.
But the Dolphins go a deep,
changed
deep play.
Everything.
Deep play. Tyreek outruns everybody outside, breaks a tackle there, goes down the sideline. And it's the fastest swing in a game I can ever remember because instead of 24-7, you got a full quarter left, and it's 17-14, you're down. And I just looked over, besides the heat, I know it was nice and warm where Jacksonville was, but I just saw the brains shutting down over there, man.
Guys were
friggin' demoralized, like in the heat. If you're looking for a reason, like if you've ever been gassed and you're ready and you play a sport and you're going, I'm just going to laugh, dude, I'm gassed. It kind of looked like that, the way the Dolphins picked up their energy in that fourth quarter and the way Jacksonville kind of disappeared.
How about going for it on that fourth down, Jacksonville? I mean, that was like, I think the coach knew they were cooked. And he's like, I had to do something to end this, you know, this swing. And I can't believe it. By the way, that play was ridiculous.
Not
even a good looking play.
No, not a great look for the head coach. Yeah, that was.
The guy shanks a field goal, and it's like you still felt okay. You still felt like you were.
Well, there's a lot of time left.
Game,
I mean, there's enough time that he actually came back and kicked two more field goals, including the game winner. That's how much time was left. But just two impactful plays back to back, like I've never seen. Then I started thinking about all those plays, Jalen Phillips and Emmanuel Ogba making plays. And then that fourth down, coming up, making that, he cuts all the way back to the other side of the field. And then after they stop him from one side, Woody, he runs the other way. And I go, oh, my God, they got blockers set up over there. This thing could not only go for a first down. Dolphins defense just sprinting. I mean, running like there's no tomorrow to get over there and get them short of that first down. So just
the margin for error in that league is so thin, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it in games every single week. You make a bad play, you turn the ball over, you do something like that, and you can lose games just outright. Like the margin for error is very, very thin in that league.
Look at Javon Holland. Javon Holland's play is just such a huge play. And that's why people say he's one of the best safeties. And you know, you talk about interceptions and sacks and forced fumbles and not just the forced fumbles, because he's had some of those. He had two in a game last year. But, man, that play is it's hard to imagine. I know he had the 99-yard return that was great, but that play – there's a lot of safeties that tackle, and the ball never comes out. When Javon hits you and strips you, there's a little more to it. And that is just a huge, huge play here on a short week with the Buffalo Bills coming to town. We'll have a lot more on that. By the way, Gregory Russo from down here in South Florida, Woody went to University of Miami. Remember that? We could have had Jalen Phillips and Gregory
Russo.
I do, the
Jalen Russo thing. And then
could have had him for 1 year. Can you imagine that? Two first-round pass rushers on the same team.
Remember, Russo got off to the fast start. Jalen, not so much. And then it kind of flipped a little bit, right? And Jalen Phillips having a hell of a career.
Best pass rusher in his class. And Russo takes the year. I remember all the criticism, and he was taking it kind of hard because he goes, I'm gonna get ready for the draft. I'm not coming back. And he's had himself a nice little start to this season for sure with the hat trick in the first game.
Don't worry, a lot of guys are going to be taking college football games off to get ready for the NFL these days, man.
I was wondering about those contracts with the NIL and how that plays out with that game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
with
either.
The bowl games?
Yeah, like,
oh,
hey.
God. Do you have to give the money back?
I don't. Well, they're not going to let him keep it. I mean, they got to put something in there like, hey, if you leave, you know, you don't get our money. We don't keep paying you no matter where you are. This is not guaranteed when you go play for somebody else.
That thing has been a funny topic because the shift in like people's thinking about it. Remember, it used to be this is going to kill a guy's draft stock because he's not a team guy. Remember, that was the initial reaction.
You know, it was one of the first guys I remember was McCaffrey at Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't the game down here that they played in?
I don't know if that was his game. I do know his quarterback, and it was no, it wasn't because it was the quarterback that was the first pick of the Colts,
Andrew Luck.
He was down here
because
we were watching. Mine was at the game, and we were talking about how good he was. But
that guy? Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know, but McCaffrey of all people. By the way, didn't look like it's affected him. Most people consider him to be the best all-around running back in. He definitely fantasy football. Is he first pick fantasy football?
He was the first pick, and I got to tell you, a lot of people were not happy campers last night.
Oh,
because they found out real late. He had the little cue next to him, you know, a little questionable, but they put that on a lot of guys in the first week of the season.
But he came out and said on Friday he was going to play, or Thursday he said, I'm playing.
Oh, and then the backup guy came out yesterday and said he knew on Friday or whatever, and...
You lied to me, man. You lied to me.
Hey, bro, that's how it
goes. That's life in the fantasy football world.
You got Mike Florio on Friday. You can ask him, and he'll probably, you know, rip betting integrity and all that other stuff. And it's like, well, you know, it's kind of how it goes, man.
By the way, for all those people said, and I'm not saying this guy's McCaffrey. How about that? How about that for a third running back? Jordan Mason was friggin'. I didn't even look at his size. I don't know how big he was running dudes over.
He looked like a moderately big horse.
After contact, he was going for another 5 or 6 yards. It seemed like 147 yards last night for Jordan Mason.
Bro, that team feels like a machine, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whoever's
so many
in
weapons.
There, yeah.
So many.
Debo was all over the place.
Debo, tight end, catching.
Ayuk drops a touchdown. He'll get better as he goes. He didn't play much, obviously. He's fighting his contract.
Third. Wide receivers catching passes. They got their fullbacks, one of the best all-around fullbacks in football.
Yeah, they're still probably one or two best teams in the league.
All right.
Right there.
The worst thing happened, Trent Williams got dehydrated. Was a little out of shape. Wasn't ready to go for that from sitting out all of camp. Hey, we do have a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. We're running a little bit late, so we'll take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
All right, Joe, before we get back to it here, how about this? Women's professional soccer is coming to South Florida. We've got tickets for you to see Fort Lauderdale United FC on the campus of NSU Florida. It says NSU Florida. That must be Nova, Joe. That's September 29th for your chance to win. Enter at WQAM.com.
I know where they play. That field's over there right next to the Dolphins. Or maybe on the Dolphins field.
Nova has a big soccer field.
Do they?
Yeah, they got a soccer team. They're in the Sunshine State Conference. Yeah, man.
All right. Sorry about that, Woody. Keep me up on. Oh, you're over there all the time. I'm sorry, man.
That Sunshine State Conference, bro. Come on. With the Bears.
And we thought they just had a basketball and a baseball team over there.
Hey, man, Nova's been really good, actually. Their basketball team is really good.
Oh, no, that's
like 2 years
without
losing a game.
That guy, yeah, that's the best kept secret going over there, man. Right? Seriously. We got talking about all those other teams going, hey, the other guy in town hadn't lost a game in like 3 years. Like, oh, okay.
Remember it was like Miami and FAU in the Final Four, and the Nova was like in the Division II. They were winning their thing. That was a good year for college basketball.
Pretty amazing for sure, yeah. Hey, by the way, I saw the weird things that happened in week one of the NFL, and we talked earlier about three teams in game one that were trailing by at least 14 points, Bears, Bills, and Dolphins, came back and were able to win. I guess that's the first time that's happened. But the Bears went 24-17 without scoring an offensive touchdown. I don't know if I've ever heard of a team scoring 24 points and not having an offensive touchdown. By the way, Woody, they had 148 yards of total offense.
Bro, I'm not sure I can ever remember a week that was that bad offensively throughout the league.
I can hear the commissioner just saying, what else can I do for the offense? Yeah. What else can we do?
I just, man, like 150 yards passing a lot of these guys. Caleb Williams didn't even get to 100.
No.
I don't know how often that happens where a guy finishes with under 100 yards, like a starting NFL quarterback.
There were a lot of good quarterbacks that have had really good careers that didn't get to 200 yards of passing yards. There's a lot of guys today. Would he look up the amount of guys that started under 200 yards passing Amazing. In week one? In a league that is screaming, pass the ball, throw it, throw it. We want you to throw it. We want you to throw it.
Isn't it crazy after week one, some teams feel really, really good, and some teams you just, man, you think they're in big, big trouble?
Yeah. Like, so I don't think the Jets are in big trouble yet. I didn't get that out of that game.
I don't either, but the surprising part was their defense looked bad, and usually the defense is the one that keeps them in the games, but
that's as bad.
I think, look, I have a big problem with that was they were playing a really elite team.
That's as bad as I've seen, and I don't know why. It just kind of stood out. I'm watching all these runs, and I'm like, they're running up the middle a lot. That's where Quinnen Williams, and I realize he is just getting manhandled. Yeah, it was kind of weird to see. 49ers offensive line played really, really well. Now, you know about Trent Williams and considered to be the best left tackle in football. But, boy, that was impressive. They just took their third guy last night. Oh, McCaffrey's not playing, and what's going to happen? Point spread and numbers changing, and they go, don't worry, we got Jordan Mason. Who? Jordan Mason, he's fine.
I hate to put you on the spot here, but you want to talk about worst team in week one? Like, who's the most concerned here? And I give you a little hint, it's probably the Bengals. Put up 10 points in a game they were favored by 8? I mean,
yeah,
like, that's pretty bad, man. That game was in Cincinnati. Atlanta put up 10 points at home.
I'm just wondering if they pay their guy, is there a different, like, he can't be happy around there. There's no way. Everybody's gotten paid, right? Everybody's gotten paid. All the receivers have now been paid except him.
It's a bad look.
And the other guy, by the way, just you're missing the other guy. Let's see, he didn't play.
Yeah, T. Higgins didn't go either.
So yeah,
but that team, look, man, they got to be concerned. Put up 10 points at home in week one is not good. The Falcons again, they put up 10 points. Joe,
a lot of teams that look like crap at home.
I mean, the Raiders stink. They put up 10 points. Hey, man, I don't know if anyone's more concerned than the Cleveland Browns.
Well,
after their performance, and did you see?
Nobody got ripped more than the Massage King.
Well, the Massage King's got a new little lawsuit on his plate that he's got to deal with now.
Did another girl come out?
Oh, my God, bro. Florio had something yesterday about this thing, and it was really gross.
She couldn't have been after all this happened.
No, this was from two.
Decided to come out a little later.
This was from 2020, but the details of it are like, so they said that the girl was, they got in a little fight, you know, argument or something. I think this was the first time he met the girl. She's in the bathroom getting ready to go out. He jumps on the bed face down naked and was like, come over here and massage me. And it's like, well, this guy's very passionate about his massages. But then I don't know what, you know, allegedly. That's an allegedly.
They are calling that $230 million contract the
worst. It's the worst contract in the history of the NFL. That's not even
debatable
at this point.
You realize they gave up a lot to get a guy who had to sit out. I mean, it's just been a PR, you know, you would put up with it, and the Browns fans would have been fine if his ass would have been really good like he wasn't. I just don't know how you lose your whole game. Like, he was so good running around, keeping plays alive in Houston. He was so good at it. He ran around, he put up big numbers with the guys he had, and you're like, wow. And he just kind
of... People were accusing the team of leaking that story yesterday just to get rid of him. Get out of that contract.
Then get out.
Hey, man, that thing is just...
Oh, Woody.
Hey, you know what, though? I was talking about this with some of the guys yesterday. That could have been us. Flores had his way. That would have been us.
We did check in on the situation, didn't we? I forgot about that.
We would have been coming in on a Tuesday morning with the guy, you know, with another lawsuit on his hands.
We did. Oh, God, I forgot about that whole thing. Chris Greer had to come out and say, oh, we were just doing our due diligence.
Yeah,
come on.
For all you people that aren't Tua people. Ooh, did we dodge a bullet?
Isn't it funny how everything's worked out, and yet there are guys that start now his third year with Mike McDaniel, and there he is at the top once again. All the numbers, quarterback rating over 100. By the way, I had people tell me, hey, Tua didn't. I go, Tua what? Tua in the opener just threw for 330 yards. What? What's – I don't know what you think I'm going to say. Like, he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't throw two picks. He didn't throw one. He played – it was clean. It was clean.
And I do agree with you. He will get better, and there, you know, not a lot of reps right through the –
Well, you know the backup now. The backup plan for people that really don't like Tua is, well, look who he's throwing. Oh, okay, now we're going to throw out who he's throwing to. Like, it's his fault that he gets – oh, yeah, you're good. Look who you're playing with. You're like, you got Tyreek on one side – and Jalen on the other.
Whatever, bro. I'll take two.
And then a track meet behind you. And then all those track guys. Anybody could have had him.
I'll take two all day over that guy. Over that guy in Cleveland. Hey, Texter makes a point here, Joe. I'm curious what you think about this. He said it doesn't help in the offenses when the NFL officials are cracking down on formation. No more left tackle leaning off the line of scrimmage to get advantage on the fast pass there. They did, by the way, and they called that a lot. In the Thursday night game.
I did not realize what a priority that was going to be. By the way,
that's made a difference.
That's a great call. Yes, I think those guys get used to look at those big guys. So the problem is because these guys are so fast. Remember Chop's first step and all the first step of all these guys. The big guys, man, we can talk about how quick they are and all that stuff, but these guys are 320, 330, 340 playing tackle, blocking guys 70, 80 pounds lighter, and that's why they are taking, and most of them are tall guys. They look like power forwards, most of them now. They're trying to get that foot back as far as they can, as far as the league will let them, and the league's going, oh, no, we're done with that. So that's a great point. By the way, that's a great call. I don't disagree. That probably all of a sudden something you've been doing, and you got to change it. You're like, now you got to get off right with that count, if not a little earlier, and hopefully they don't call it. Yeah, that's a good text. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree. Why all the things with the offense and they decide that's the one they're going? That's the one?
Isn't it amazing?
After all these years, that's the one you got a problem with? The tackles are stepping back too far?
No league does a better job with storylines, though, man. There's always something going on, right?
Well,
some rule, something, some controversy.
I would have never known. Right? Nobody said, hey, we want to give all you guys a heads up. They're doing the games. We're going to be calling this on these tackles that are too deep before the snap and not on the line of scrimmage. We're going to start calling it. We've let them get away with it for the last 50 years, but enough's enough. So, yeah, I would say that might affect some guys that have gotten used to having that outside foot back another yard and a half. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about somebody really good. In a bad situation, but really good. Baptist Health South Florida, man. Where do the pros go when they get injured? Enter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU, Dade County High School Sports. We got a great program for them for free on the weekends that was set up a long, long time ago by Baptist Health. It's just, listen, man. It really is about taking, having the best doctors, the best specialists, best team doctors to really take care of all your problems. You don't have to leave town to see the best. They have gone out and got an A-plus team of specialists for the knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement. If you're not really good, you're not on that all-star team. Those guys have been checked out every possible way to come here and be part of the Baptist Health South Florida team. And the great news is we can all go see them. We can all go see them. You don't have to be a high school, college, or professional athlete down here. No siree. And we got great locations. By the way, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, been around for a long, long time. Not just there, but at Hard Rock Stadium, next to the practice facility. And also on 595 and Pine Island Implantation. Broward County, we got a nice one. 595 and Pine Island Implantation. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One go every day. It's about getting you healthy, playing the sports you love the most.